Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Energy costs that we pay here in Pennsylvania in the Philadelphia area, but across Pennsylvania, 40%+ higher than the rest of the country. And now, could some new policies by your governor, my governor, Josh Shapiro, will these policies, if they go into effect, and if he gets his budget wishes, will our energy costs go up again? Oh, no, say it ain't so. Let's bring in our favorite senior policy analyst. This is Andre Beliveau with the Commonwealth Foundation and somebody who knows energy policy for sure. This is his wheelhouse. Absolutely. Hey, Andre, thanks for your patience. We had a little polka going on there, a little polka dance. So how are you today?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you again, Dawn. Yeah, it's funny. When you were playing those recordings at first, I was like, is that Josh Shapiro or Barack Obama? well-polished politicians just apparently just, you know, they speak the same language.
I know. It's uncanny. It really is. So you're the senior manager of Energy Policy, Commonwealth Foundation. You live and breathe this stuff. You study this. I know that you've been asked as an expert to testify at different points or, you know, give your take on things. So what's the latest? You've been in the headlines as far as Pennsylvania's energy policy. Where do we stand? Are things getting better, getting worse? What do you see?
Well, and here's the thing. And you rightly point out, Dawn, that the energy costs, like the retail consumer costs of energy in Pennsylvania are quite high. And that definitely should not be. And of course, that's a result of federal policies that are still left over from the Biden administration. And we're starting to see course corrections there. We're seeing great things in energy policy coming out of Washington, D.C. from President Trump and his executive orders to unleash American energy dominance. That's a great thing for Pennsylvania. You know, broadly speaking, you know, Pennsylvania is an energy leader. It actually is the number one electricity exporter in the entire country. So we export power, and you know, our surrounding states benefit from Pennsylvania being a powerhouse of energy. We're the second largest producer of natural gas. Lots of great things. Our energy production has gone up while our emissions are going down. We have a reliable grid. You know, Pennsylvania is an energy leader. So of course, Josh Shapiro, for whatever reason, doesn't want to embrace drill, baby, drill, doesn't want to embrace American energy dominance. He wants to keep the status quo of Joe Biden's radical climate policies and wants to put forward a Pennsylvania last energy policy plan. And that's what he's put out. He's released something that he's calling his lightning plan, which I like to say it's actually the out in the lights plan. And, you know, if you already think you have high electricity bills, you would be right to think that. And the truth is that Josh Shapiro wants to just make them even higher. The energy industry in Pennsylvania has lowered emissions, and it's a success story. And that's happened through market innovation. That's happened from the shift from coal to natural gas. So what's Josh Shapiro's answer to that? You know, thank you for lowering emissions, free market, but we need government to fix this because, you know, there isn't a progressive policy or a big government policy that Josh Shapiro isn't willing to grab and put in place. People like to call him a moderate, but he's a tax and spend liberal, and there's not a progressive policy that he doesn't enjoy. So whether it's REGGIE, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which he's currently fighting in the Supreme Court to increase Pennsylvania's energy bills, whether it's his plans that he wants for self-inflicted wounds in Pennsylvania, it is a recipe for the grid to be less reliable and for energy prices to go up. So not common sense. And again, certainly a plan to put Pennsylvania last when it's already been a energy leader.
So I know Governor Shapiro, just to push back and what he's saying. So he's saying this RGGI, REGGIE. He also names, you know, in the past we've talked about PACER, P-A-C-E-R, which is Pennsylvania Climate Emissions Reduction Act. And then there's the Pennsylvania Reliability Energy Sustainability Standard, P-R-E-S-S. So some of those are alternatives to REGGIE. Whatever you want to call it, Governor Shapiro has said that what he's for is to make sure that we filter the air, clean water, and that's why he's pushing for this. So this is the attempt to join this multi-state initiative, right, where all these participating states would set a cap on the emissions and then require those who generate the power to purchase, I guess, certain allowances for each ton of CO2 emitted. And so I think what Governor Shapiro and others are saying, well, this is a good thing because it's about filtering the air and filtering out the pollutants that we all breathe. You say what?
Well, I think, I mean, of course, on paper, that sounds great. I mean, whomst amongst us doesn't want clean air, clean water, and to preserve, you know, and be good environmental conservationists and be responsible stewards of our environment. And if we weren't doing those things, then, you know, maybe the big hand of government needs to come in there, maybe. But that's not the case. You know, his plans are, you know, a solution in search of a problem that doesn't exist. The truth of the matter is that Pennsylvania is already reducing emissions. In fact, we're doing it faster and more better than the states that are in REGI. And Pennsylvania is only one of three states in the entire region to drop emissions while increasing energy production. So we're producing more power and reducing emissions while we're doing that. Only one of three states in the entire region. And again, we're REGI states are not doing that. They've lowered emissions by giving out less power. So think about, you know, we're hearing that we need more energy. They're taking energy off the grid to decrease emissions, but we're decreasing emissions faster than they are without REGI, without PACER, and we're boosting energy production. So, I mean, the data just cuts against him, you know, and we have to remember what REGI and what PACER is fundamentally. It's a tax. It's a tax on carbon, which equals, because if you're going to tax the energy producers, that's going to trickle down to consumers. So it is an economy-wide energy tax that we will all be paying for. And it's again, if we're just going to talk about good governance, this is not good governance. The market is already delivering, and Josh Shapiro now wants to punish the natural gas industry, which, by the way, not only in Pennsylvania, but across the country, the number one driver of lowering emissions in the United States, according to EIA data, and also the Independent Fiscal Office in Pennsylvania, shows the number one driver of lowering emissions has been natural gas. And, you know, Josh Shapiro says that he's an all-of-the-above governor. Well, all-of-the-above policies is what brought us the Green New Deal, and certainly Josh Shapiro's plan is his own version of the Green New Deal with all of the alphabet soup of all the fun acronyms, REGI, PACER, PRESS, his EDGE tax credit. All of these things are just big government programs. Again, it's a solution in search of a problem. His intentions are good, but why, if we're already delivering, if he really cared about dropping emissions, we're already doing it. The truth is it's not that. This is wanting to be government central planning to deliver to his green energy industry donors. Mm-hmm. It's handouts for part-time energy like wind and solar, and you can't run a full-time economy on part-time energy. There's not a progressive policy that Josh Shapiro isn't willing to grab and try to rebrand in his own way, but the data tells a different story, Don.
And so, you know, what you've estimated, Andre Beliveau, is that because of this, with REGI or whichever program you want to talk about, because the producers would have to, you know, do this cap, and then they would have to end up paying more, they would pass it along to us, and mm-hmm. that, you have said, could increase already high energy costs. You're estimating 30% increase in electricity?
So the numbers that we've had for REGI, and these have been out for a couple years now, those are about 2023-2022 estimates, was 30% for REGI. But that's also, you have the REGI allowances, or the actual tax that would be imposed, the carbon tax through REGI, has increased since those estimates are done. So it would probably be higher than 30%. And what I will say is that next month in April at the Commonwealth Foundation, and your listeners can go to commonwealthfoundation.org. We have information there, not just on our work on energy policy, but our work on education and the state budget, everything else. I encourage your listeners to go there and look at our research. But we will have a report coming out next month that analyzes Governor Shapiro's PACER and PRESS program. And what I can tell you is that 30% is a conservative estimate. If his plans come into place, we're looking at upwards of a 60% increase in electricity costs in Pennsylvania, already high costs. They say we sit on the Saudi Arabia of North America. We have, you know, we are responsible for the shale boom in the United States. There's absolutely no reason why Pennsylvanians should be paying already high electricity costs, and the industry is delivering on lowering emissions, which people want. and they're delivering on reliability, and Josh Shapiro's plan increased costs and cuts reliability in half. Tell me how that makes sense.
And what about, let me ask you this, as far as the emissions, when we, you know, we're thinking about the energy producers, how does all of this affect as far as your vehicle emissions? Because we've talked about in the past that I know that we have the inspection programs, and we've heard a lot about that depending on the different administration, which can be very costly. And I've done interviews about this. Does this have to do with, do any of these plans have to do with vehicle emissions, or are they just the energy producers?
Right. These are separate policies. Of course, you know, the state of California has tried really hard to get its sort of EV mandates spread across the country. You know, President Trump put the axe on that immediately, which is good. You know, if you want an electric vehicle, you should have the consumer choice to buy it, but it shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't be paying for other people's EVs. If you want it, buy it. You should have that consumer freedom. But if I want to have, you know, a different kind of car, you should have that consumer choice. But this is not the same thing. What all these plans that Governor Shapiro is looking at are all our power generation sector, the people that are giving us the power, so that way when we flip the light, you know, flip the switch, the lights come on. And, you know, with the increase of artificial intelligence and these data centers, you know, we need more energy, not less. And, you know, Secretary Chris Wright at the Department of Energy has said that the issue we need now is we need energy abundance. We need attrition. We need to be adding onto the grid, not taking away. And Governor Shapiro's policies, you know, not only will be taking jobs away from our robust energy sector in Pennsylvania, but you know, there's not been a new natural gas plant. Again, natural gas is what's responsible for keeping the grid reliable, but also lowering emissions. We've not had a new one built in Pennsylvania since the threat of REGI came onto the scene during Governor Wolf. So that's certainly not good. And they're threatening all to retire early reliable power plants, the coal plants in Pennsylvania, which already make up a small percentage of the grid. But if we're not replacing that with something that's providing full-time power, and we want to replace it with part-time energy like wind and solar, which Governor Shapiro wants to do, that's just not going to work out for us. The math, you know, the energy realism comes about really, really fast, and the reality of how the grid works. But yeah, he essentially wants to cut Pennsylvania's energy sector, the power generating sector, cut its reliability in half, and wants Pennsylvanians to pay more money for that.
So how much right now, what are the allowed emissions from these power producers? What's allowed?
Well, I mean, so there's, and this is kind of up, this is up for debate at the moment, right? Because even what we've just saw, we've had the biggest deregulation cut in American history this last week from Lee Zeldin at EPA. So they're changing some of these EPA regulations. Because again, the truth of the matter is, why have a government regulation that's not needed? Because that creates more red tape, more bureaucracy. You have to create positions for people to operate a system that's unneeded. It makes no sense. And the truth is that I think Pennsylvania is a great case study. The energy industry has shown that through market innovation, through a transition from coal to natural gas, we've not only kept the grid reliable, produced more power, so much so that we can export upwards of almost 20% of our power. We export outside the confines of the Commonwealth, and that's actually why states like New Jersey and states like Maryland and Delaware, they can afford to be in REGI, because Pennsylvania is giving them their power. And we've lowered emissions, so it's a success story that you don't need the heavy hand of government to do this. You know, there's market incentives, business incentives, and good stewardship and citizenship that drives people to want to deliver reliable, affordable, and increasingly clean power. And the thing that keeps electricity costs high is all of this regulation and red tape, whether it's coming from plans like what Governor Josh Shapiro is proposing, or whether it's coming through entities like the EPA. So I think a lot of these things are up for debate. I think if we look to Pennsylvania, we have a great case study. And if you look to places like California that are having rolling blackouts, or you look to Texas with what happened down there during Storm Uri, where they lost their grid and experienced blackouts there. We've not had that experience in Pennsylvania, because so far the energy industry has been allowed to stay afloat and deliver. And again, we should be seeing costs go down, but because of subsidies from the Inflation Reduction Act that are still alive, and even just the threat of policies like REGI that keeps our electricity bills high, and we can't afford for them to go even higher.
Yeah, and so I guess the final question here, because we have a game that we want to play up ahead. But Andre Beliveau, as we talked to you, because this is your expertise, this is your wheelhouse. But what about, has any, we talk about privatizing things. So even the EPA at the state level, at the federal level, we always hear that they're shorthanded, right? So what about incentivizing the private sector to come up with filters or whatever, or policing, or just being watchdogs for this? And then right. incentivizing businesses, because let me tell you, I live in the Chestnut Hill section of Philadelphia. You put those ladies who run Chestnut Hill and the Sisters of St. Joseph, you're not going to have any emissions, because they'll come up with, they will invent the, they'll get yep. the kids to invent the filter, and then they will watch you like a dog mm-hmm. on a bone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
So I just think the more local it is, and then the more you incentivize local people to do that, that's the way to go, because the federal government, it just seems with all the bureaucracies, they actually don't do what we want them all to do, which is just make the air cleaner and better filtered, and or the water, right? I mean, that's my take on it.
Right. And well, and the industry has delivered on this, too. I mean, just to use the natural gas industry as an example, they already have scrubbers on their plants. Our coal plants have scrubbers. I mean, we have some of the cleanest power plants in the world, because, you know, not only have we had some regulations, but we've had market incentives to do that. I mean, China's not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
India's not doing that. Yeah. And they're adding more and more coal power plants. You know, wherever the carbon is emitted, you know, it's sort of indifferent. If we care about global emissions, it's sort of indifferent as to its geographical origins. So if we're going to spend all this money through subsidies to harm our economic environment, what is the actual trade-off here? What are the benefits to the natural environment? I don't see it, especially when China and India are building, you know, a new coal plant a month, and they don't put scrubbers on theirs to make it cleaner. So, you know, the industry is already delivering. You've seen some of the natural gas drillers in Pennsylvania that are now doing live reporting online. You can go, like, onto some of their websites. They have something called Radical Transparency, where you can see what they do to cut and curb emissions. I mean, it's remarkable. So we are doing that. And I agree with you. If we can unlock the private sector mm-hmm. to do more of that, to do it, because, of course, they want to do that. They live around the places where they're drilling and where these power plants are.
Activate
and
them.
Also, by the way, if we can cut red tape and regulations to build more nuclear power, which is the most reliable, zero-carbon-emitting energy source we have. We've seen some, you know, private investment there with things like Three Mile Island. But again, the biggest hit, you know, and bottom line here, Josh Shapiro wants all these subsidies and all these government programs. The best thing we can do is deregulation, cut the red tape, and that will lower costs. And we'll get a better product at the end of the day.
Andre Beliveau, thank you so much. Commonwealth Foundation, Energy Policy, biggity big, as I always say, Senior Policy Manager. Thanks, Andre. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Don.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.